glorious right now. Would you praise Him like you've already won right now? Hallelujah. Would you praise Him like your family's already delivered right now? Oh, we praise You. We praise You. We shout with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. The song listed so many attributes of our great God. I latched on to that faithful forever one. Our God is faithful forever. There is never a moment, nor will there ever be a moment when He has not or will not be faithful. I think we owe Him a debt of praise and gratitude right now. Would you slip your hand to heaven once again? Would you thank Him? I'm going to thank Him for being faithful. Why don't you thank Him for something He has done in your life, Lord? You've been faithful to me, God. Forever You've been faithful. I praise You. You've been my shield and my defender. Oh yes, I owe You praise right now. I owe You praise right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. He is a faithful God. There's no doubt in my mind that God has orchestrated this service and this season that we are in as a church. Throughout the month of October and even this morning, God has directed APC once again to His eternal and life-changing word. And we're going to continue in that vein tonight if you will follow. Please turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1. I know many of you can quote this from memory because it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men." One of my favorite verses, verse 5, "And that light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Skipping down to verse 9, it says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name." Tonight, from this powerful passage of Scripture, I want to preach to you from this title: Enter the Word. Enter the Word. Would you slip your hand again to heaven, but this time would you ask God to help us and speak personally to your heart tonight, Lord? We have heard of the power of Your Word and the impact of Your Word. Right now, God, we want it to change our lives. We want to receive it, Lord. We want to receive it tonight, Jesus. Let it fall on open ears and an open heart, we pray. And let it change us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank You so much. You may be seated. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Out of an eternal and unending darkness, light was created in an instant. Within the endless expanse of sheer oblivion, the cosmos came onto the scene. And within the limitless void of emptiness, stars were produced by the millions and by the billions. Galaxies were crafted at will. Planets were fashioned with intention. Atmospheres were calibrated with perfection. Within the chaos of darkness that had existed for an innumerable amount of time, mountains materialized and rivers began to flow in their intended directions. Oceans were formed and shaped with beaches for boundaries. Gravity was introduced and began to hold life together. The laws of nature were established, and man was formed from the dust of the earth to rule and to have dominion. In the span of what the Bible describes as 7 days' time, every form of life imaginable was handcrafted with care. In the span of just 1 week, the universe in its entirety was painted on the blank canvas of eternal darkness. In the span of just a handful of days, a masterful creation was wheeled into existence, and out of chaos and all-encompassing darkness, everything that is known and unknown was created. And even today, scientists can't figure it out. Astronomers are devoid of solutions. Philosophers are without explanations. And physicists are left with more questions than when they began. And I'm not here to tell you tonight that I've got it all figured out personally. I certainly do not. But I am here to tell you that there is just something that happens when the Word of God is introduced into emptiness and even a void. There is something that happens when the Word of God enters a void. You see, when the Word entered the cosmos, light appeared and darkness retreated. When the Word was introduced, chaos surrendered and order ensued. When the Word of God broke the silence that had existed for an eternal period of time, what followed it was creative power and might that can only be attributed to the one and true God. And out of absolutely nothing, the Word of God created everything. Can I tell you tonight, when the Word enters a situation, even one as empty as it was in the beginning, it cannot be contained. It cannot be controlled. It cannot be limited. It cannot be constricted. Its power will not be subdued. Its impact will not be diminished. Its effectiveness will not be moderated or constrained. And if Genesis 1 is any indication, we can rest assured tonight that when the Word of God enters the emptiness of my life, chaos will come to order. Chaos will come to order. Darkness will be forced to withdraw. Uncertainty will cease to rule. And light will entirely overwhelm us. When the Word of God enters your life, you can expect change. You can expect change. This is further evidence in John 1 and 1. When John likens the Messiah to the Word, or to the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's important to note tonight, in his writing, John uses the words "in the beginning." He starts his book with the same words that Genesis started with. He's referring back to the moment of creation when that silence was broken and light was introduced. You see, the people of Israel had just come through what was known as the silent years. 400 years of their history that were silent after the close of the New Testament. It said that during that time that no man heard from God. God's voice had grown silent. We have no authoritative scriptural writings from that period of time as the Israelites waited on the promise from God. They were without direction and without the voice of God for over four centuries. But in John 1 and 1, the writer offers that all of that changed the moment Jesus Christ came onto the scene. And just like in the beginning when darkness covered the face of the earth, that Word of God once again broke the silence that had existed, and the power of God followed Him. Once again, the Word was introduced to darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. The Word was introduced to chaos, and chaos had to surrender. The Word was introduced to a lost and dying world, and life was simultaneously infused into humanity, including you and I, when Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, came on the scene. Blind eyes started to open. Oh, the lame started to walk. And the dead started to rise. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, life came with it. Redemption followed it. Deliverance accompanied it. And the supernatural surrounded it. When the Word entered humanity, miracles came with Him. Healing wasn't far behind Him. The glory of God enveloped Him. And when Jesus Christ came onto the scene, when the Word incarnate came into view, the power of God always followed. So tonight I've come to tell someone from the authority of Scripture and under the direction of the Holy Ghost, when this Word enters your life, when this word enters your life, the power of God will follow it. When this word enters your life, you can expect to see miracles, signs, and wonders. You can expect deliverance. Oh, do not be surprised, saint of God, when you let this word get in your spirit and you begin to have clarity and you begin to have peace of mind and you begin to see clearly. Don't be surprised if you let it in your life and things just start changing. Miracles start happening. Signs start following. When the word of God enters your life, the power of God will always follow it. Maybe it hadn't been 400 years for you. Maybe it's been 400 days or 400 hours. And you feel like God has been silent. That His voice has grown silent. You haven't heard a word from God. However long you've waited tonight, when you get that word, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive peace. You're going to receive strength and deliverance. And it may be all you've got right now, saint of God. But when you get that word in your spirit, can I tell you, you will receive everything that you need. When this word takes a hold of your life and orders your steps, can I tell you, it's all the strength you need. It's all the wisdom you need. It's all the touch of God you need. When the word of God gets in your spirit, you've got enough. Oh, someone clinging to a word from God, wondering if He's going to answer. Can I tell you, that word is enough for you. His word will sustain you. His word will keep you. His word will cover you. If you've got a word from God, you've got everything you need. Let me give you a word tonight. If you're going through an illness, let me help you. By His stripes, you are healed in Jesus' name. Oh, why don't we pause for a moment and claim that? Would you do it? Would you lift your hands if you need healing? I wonder, would you just claim that promise right now? That's a word from God. By His stripes, you are healed. By the power of the word of God, you can be healed in a moment and in an instant. Hear me, if you're going through a storm tonight, it says, and He arose and rebuked the storm and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. The word of God has power over your storm. If you're going through pain tonight, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Going through brokenness tonight, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And save as such as be of a contrite spirit. There is power, church. When you let the word in your life, there is power. John said it perfectly. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning. For some of you, I felt this earlier today. This is going to be your testimony. They're going to walk up to you and wonder, how'd you get through that? How'd you face that? You're going to be able to tell them, well, yeah, I had the sickness. But before the sickness was ever developed, before it was ever named, the word of God was already there. In the beginning of my trial, there was the word. How'd you face that cancer, saint of God? How'd you come through that diabetes still holding on to your trust? Let me tell you, in the beginning, there was a word from God. And I just held on to that word. Oh, how'd you come through all that pain? Why are you still trusting in God? Let me tell you, in the beginning, there was a word. And that word was everything I have ever needed. If you've got a word from God tonight, it's all you need. Oh, if you believe it, would you lift your voices and your hands right now? Why don't you praise Him? Oh, yes. Would you thank Him for the word? Would you thank Him for the word right now? It's all I'll ever need, God. It's all I've ever needed, God. I've got your word. I've got your word. In the beginning was the word. This word has power, church. It has power. It has not changed. Its power is not in contention, nor will it ever be. I'd like you to look back at the text we read earlier. John chapter 1 offers an interesting take. that can potentially alter the effectiveness of the Word of God in our lives. The Word is powerful. Allow me to show you verse 12. Starts with, but as many as received Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I'd like you to notice the caveat in the beginning of that verse. But as many as received Him. See, in verse 10, it tells us Jesus was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. No surprise. But then it goes on to say in verse 11, He, the Word incarnate, came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Tonight we have already established, and I hope you're convinced by now, that the Word of God has power to change your life. When the Word enters your spirit, change comes with it and power comes with it. There's no doubt in my mind, I don't believe there's doubt in any of your minds, this Word can and will change your life. But you see, it has never been a question of whether or not the Word has power. We know that to be true. But can I submit to you tonight, it has always been a question of whether or not we will allow ourselves to receive it. This Word will never return void. It will always provide dividends. But in order for us to receive power, we have got to be intentional about whether or not we will receive the Word. And perhaps the greatest tragedy of John chapter 1 is that this incredible force of light, the Logos, the Word that was in the beginning, was with God and was God. This Word broke through the darkness and silence of the world. This world came on the scenes with signs falling, but even still, we find it was utterly rejected by the people of God. The very people the Bible describes as His own. The people who should have known Him best, the ones who should have known Him most intimately, the chosen people of God, they did not receive Him. And tonight they stand as a stark example to the modern day church and even to us. Because we have in our possession the answer to this world. But will we allow it to be the answer to my world? Will I receive it for myself day in and day out? Will I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against Him? Or will I keep the Word of God at arm's length when it is inconvenient or troubling? Can I submit to you tonight, if we want to receive all the power we just spoke about, the power to become the children of God, we have got to receive the Word on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Many scholars agree the threshold of the human body is such that we can endure for up to 3 weeks without eating anything before our major organs begin to suffer. I think mine start to suffer after about 3 minutes. They said 3 weeks. There's many who have gone up to 40 days without eating any food. Anatomists agree that that 40-day mark is perhaps the longest the body can go without receiving sustenance. What's interesting to me, though, is that Job chapter 23 and verse 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus Himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Sometimes we wonder why we're lacking the power of God in our lives. We wonder why we're lacking strength and why we're feeling spiritually frail. Can I ask you tonight a very pointed question? How long has it been since you let this Word get a hold of you? How long has it been since you let this Word down deep in your spirit? How long has it been since a message over this pulpit truly changed you and stirred your heart? If the human body can go only 3 weeks without physical sustenance, how long can we go tonight without receiving the Word of God? And if the curtain of the spiritual realm were pulled back right now, and our spiritual frames were presented before God? Would we find ourselves well fed by the power of His Word? Or would we find ourselves malnourished by the lack of it? If we could see ourselves in a spiritual light, would we see the strength of His Word? Or would we see the deficiency of it? Fact remains, I could leave here tonight, go over to the nearest steakhouse, Tucker's down the road, walk in, sit in the booth, grab the menu, and order the best steak they have to offer. Put it in front of me. I can look at it all I want. I can stare at it for hours. I can inspect its appearance. I can marvel at its presentation. I can show everyone in the restaurant how wonderful and how great it is. And I can even recommend it to others around me. But until I pick up that fork and that knife and I dive in for myself, that steak, hear me, it ain't gonna do me any good. Until I try it for myself, it will not change me. Until I consume it for myself, it will not strengthen me. Until I ingest it myself, it won't sustain me. And in the same manner, if I fail to respond to the Word of God on a daily and weekly basis, it will not change me. If I fail to receive it, it won't sustain me. It won't transform me. If I want the power of God in my life, I've got to receive His Word. I've got to receive it and let it change me. Church, can I tell you, I believe God is speaking to us at APC. Over the last 4 weeks in our youth services, I did the math, I checked just yesterday, even our Thursday night youth prayer on Thursday, we've had a tongues of interpretation in each and every youth service back on Wednesday nights. Can I tell you, these young people know how to have church, but those words have been very pointed to us, and God has spoken very clearly to us about change. Several weeks ago, Brother Aaron Batchelor preached to us a powerful and compelling message at our Restoration Sunday. Just this morning, our pastor preached to us about the message of the impact of the Word of God. And this entire month of October has been geared towards receiving the Word. I think it is obvious God is speaking to us. But when we tell you what I felt in the Holy Ghost just this last week, there is no restraining the power of God. It will never lose its power. But the enemy knows that as well. He knows he cannot and will not stop it from changing our lives. But what he can try to do is muffle our ears to the point where we cannot receive it. Through the cares of life and distractions, he will cause us to neglect the most powerful force we have at our disposal and curb our response to the Word. God's Word is no less powerful. It always is, but our response to it can be limited and diminished. But can I tell you tonight, can I implore you this time to check ourselves and get rid of any distractions in our lives? It's time to rid ourselves entirely of anything that would seek to stifle the Word of God. It's time to remove those proverbial earmuffs and spiritual blinders and allow the Word of God to change us. We cannot afford to neglect it. We cannot afford to shovel it over our shoulders on to the next person. We cannot afford to remain unmoved and unchanged when confronted with the power of the Word of God. Church, I believe that therein lies the litmus test of whether or not we've allowed it to enter our lives. We can wonder tonight, how? How do I know if I've truly received it? How do I know if I've allowed it in my spirit, if I've accepted it? Let me ask you, has this Word of God changed you? And has it changed you recently? Pastor preached this morning, this Word will change your life. And judging from the pattern of Scripture, the litmus test of receiving the Word of God has always been a response of change. In Acts 2, the people of Jerusalem were confronted with the Word of God, and they responded in verse 37 with conviction, with a change of heart. In 2 Samuel 12, David was confronted with a word from Nathan the prophet. And we see in Psalm 51, David's response to the Word was repentance and change. In Matthew chapter 4, even Satan himself could not remain unmoved When Jesus confronted him with the word in the wilderness, he had no choice but to respond and retreat to the power of the word of God. And if that is the case, and if even Satan himself offers a response, how much more should we respond in faith to the powerful word of God? If the word changed David, how much more should we change today, knowing what we know? And if unrepentant sinners will respond to the power of the word, how much more should we be open to it and respond to it? For as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name. Can I offer you tonight? Enter the word. Already entered in the blank canvas of eternity. Already entered in the New Testament. Will I allow it every day, every time I am confronted with it, will I allow it to enter my life? When it does, will I allow it to change me? Enter the word. Many reasons today, I found it fitting. Our pastor decided to call this day BYOB day. Bring your own Bible day. Brought my 1-year Bible with me this morning. I brought it again tonight. If you look at it really closely, some of you got a better view. You can see the cover is worn. The material on the front of it's fallen off. It's a piece of it in my hand right now. Pages are creased. Some of them even ripped. I found one today that was ripped. Upset me. I have to remember the date and try to get that one fixed. You look throughout it, you'll see scribblings all in the pages. I'm not one that uses a straight edge when I underline things in my Bible. I know some of the more particular people in the room may not appreciate that, but I draw crooked lines sometimes. Horrendous handwriting in this Bible. The seam is broken. It's giving way. To someone else, it may look like it's outdated. It may look worn, may look depleted, it may look overused and in need of restoration. It may look like just a book that has changed externally over time. Can I tell you tonight that this book has never changed? Its words are still true. Its promises are still sure. Its principles are still perfect and its precepts are still powerful. It may look depleted, but can I tell you, it's full of life. It may look worn, but it's forever settled. It may look outdated, but it is as relevant and powerful as ever. There have been times in my life of uncertainty when I did not have the answers, but this word has always been certain. There have been times of pain when I didn't have the words to pray, but I opened the word and found strength and relief. There have been times of brokenness in my family and sickness in my family. We didn't have the answers. But this word has never failed us. And of everything in my life I could choose to neglect, can I tell you, this is not it. Of everything I could overlook or discard, the word of God is simply not on that list. I can't just know about it, but I've got to receive it. When I was a young teenager, my dad gave me this Bible. Thank you, Dad. He gave each of our siblings 1-year Bible for Christmas. He told us when he gave it to us. I told some of you this before. Said, I'll give $100 and a steak dinner to whoever reads this first. That may seem a little outlandish. I won't brag about who read it first. But can I tell you, this Bible has meant so much more to me than $100 in a steak dinner, church. It's kept me. It's sustained me. It has directed the steps of my life. It has upheld me. But it never would have done that if I never would have opened it. Never would have helped me if I wouldn't have received it. It never would have strengthened me if I wouldn't have hid its words in my heart. This word will never return void, like our pastor preached this morning. Just like the rain and the snow. But even the rain and the snow have to get into the soil to be truly effective. If I want the power the Word of God provides, I've got to let it change me. Not just yesterday, the day before, 2 months before. I got to let it change me today. And if I want it to change me, I've got to respond to the Word of God. If you want to do that right now, I want to invite everyone in this room to stand. You've heard the word, but I wonder if you just lift your hands in response to it. Would you tell God in your own words right now, Lord, I will respond to your word, God. I will not neglect your word, Jesus. I recognize it has the power to help me in my current dilemma and situation. I will cling to its principles and to its precepts. I will hold on to its doctrine and its teaching. I will not neglect the word of God. I will not neglect the word of God. Let me tell you the promise. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Church, in a moment I'm going to invite you to respond together. This invitation is for everyone. I would like everyone that is willing to respond to the Word of God. But before you do, let me tell you what is going to happen when you respond. The Word says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to be the children of God. Many of you have experienced this just today, even this morning. When you walked down this aisle, responding to the Word of God that was preached, you offered your faith. And you felt the power and the presence of God overshadow you and touch your life. But it doesn't stop there, because it says those same individuals were the ones who beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you, when you respond to the word, you will receive power and you will behold the glory of the Almighty God. In other words, when you respond, it's going to change your life tonight. It'll change your life at this altar. And if you want that, I invite everyone that would you just begin to step out of your seat right now in your response. Would you come and fill this altar right now, lifting your hands and lifting your voices. If you need healing in your life right now, respond to the Word of God, and do not be surprised when the power of God falls on your life. If you need deliverance in your life right now, oh, I ask you, respond to the Word of God and test it. Find it to be true in your life. The power will fill you. Oh, yes. Lift your voice all across this place. If you need a word from God,